I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, for this week's episode, I'm going to play for you a virtual speaking engagement I had over the weekend where I was able to speak on marketplace and ministry within the Daughters of the King group led by Prophetess Tanya Lofty. If you guys have been a part of the Blessed and Bossed Up community for long enough, then you know who she is. It was such an honor to be interviewed and on the other side of the microphone, so to speak, for this interview. So I wanted to bring it here on this platform because we covered some really good stuff as it relates to business and just the foundations of building a business God's way. So check this out. This is my interview on marketplace and ministry. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
I want her to introduce herself. Until we want to share our stories with you today, because we're both entrepreneurs. We're both entrepreneurs and we want to share our stories with you. I'm going to let Tatum tell her story and how God called her into, because marketplace and ministry, scripture says that your gifts will make room for you. All right. And so your gifts will make room for you. I need you all to get out of Put down what you think you know today and pick up what God already knew about you. I need you to put down what you think you know and pick up what God already knows about you. Okay, because I have to say that because it takes a certain mindset to be an entrepreneur. Okay, so I want to set the precedence and the tone before we keep going, because we're going to drop some stuff today and then God's going to stir some things in you all, and you know, y'all going to be launched out into the deep. Amen. Mm-hmm. So Tatum, you tell us, sweetheart. Yes, I call her sweetheart. I know her name, but tell us about how God, you know, how your journey, and then I'll talk a little bit about my journey and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So good morning to all of you guys who don't know me. My name is Tatum Iommi Kay. I am the CEO of Anchored Media. I'm the host of my own podcast that falls under our umbrella called Blessed and Bossed Up, where I talk about faith and business and really just doing business God's way. My journey started back in 2015. So I've been an entrepreneur for 6 years, full-time for five this year. And my journey started really after I graduated from college. I had like four jobs in 1 year. And I was like, okay, it ain't the job, sis, it's you. So I had to figure out like what was the problem. I would get somewhere, feel like I capped for, you know, what my position allowed me to do. And I'm like, all right, I want another job. I'm bored now. So then I would get another job, same thing. So eventually I'm like, okay, it's me. And so around this time, I was getting back in church, just really trying to find life as a individual person, because, you know, growing up, you're in your parents' house, go to college, you're kind of an adult, but kind of not. So at this point, I was fresh out of college and really just trying to establish who I am and what I wanted to do for myself. And so I started building a relationship with God, trying to figure out what that meant for me, and building my own one-on-one relationship. And so then I also started to figure out what I wanted to do career-wise. So I started with something I was passionate about, which is giving back to the community. And I wanted to be for teen girls who I needed growing up. So I started a youth program. I weighed my options as far as how I wanted to do that, if I wanted to go the nonprofit route, if I wanted to do it as a for-profit. So after counting the cost, I didn't know that that was scripture back then. But after really just analyzing what it was going to take for each avenue, I decided to do it as a for-profit. So that's when my business started. We did really well, really quick. Within that first year, I was going all over PG County speaking at schools. I got the program into a school within the first few months, and we maintained that program for a couple years after that. I was named top 30 under 30 in the DC area. I'm at the Ciroc House with all the movers and shakers in DC. It happened really fast. So as I was doing that, though, I realized that I liked the work, but I didn't like the business side. I didn't like going and pitching schools and convincing the leaders why this type of program is needed. I just didn't like doing that. I liked just doing the work. So I decided that it was going to be a different way that I needed to do business, and I was going to come back to that. So that left me at the drawing board again. How am I going to figure out what is going to be the thing? And so I just started looking at what I was good at, which is marketing and branding. And it was evident through the success we had very quickly with that program. And my undergrad degree is in PR. All my jobs were in marketing. So that's always been like my background and my love, really, as it relates to business. So I said, okay, I'm going to do consulting and help other entrepreneurs build their brand and figure out what marketing is going to look like for them. So then I started doing that. I'm like, cool. So this is also when the podcast came about, because I'm like, okay, how am I going to build a brand for myself online in order to do this? So once again, counting the cost, not realizing it was scripture, I started doing my research. What is it taking? At this time, blogs were heavy, and Instagram was getting really big as far as like building a brand online. So I'm like, I don't want to do any of those. I don't want to walk around with a phone up all the time and all that it looked like it took to build a brand on Instagram or social media. I just didn't want to do that. And now at this time, I realized that podcasting still is very new, but it was really new back in 2016 when I started building it. And I noticed that the trend was moving towards that. And a lot of my friends, I had got into podcasting, but a lot of my friends and people I knew didn't know what a podcast was. And so I was like, oh, perfect. This is a great opportunity for me to get into a space that people are moving to. Instead of trying to keep up with the rat race of what's going on social media, let me create a brand where my audience is going so that I can already be there and be one of the first. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I started the podcast. It was not Blessed and Bossed Up. It was myself and my co-host, because I was looking for a podcast that talked about the beginning stages of entrepreneurship, and I couldn't find it. It was more so people talking about, I'm already a successful entrepreneur. Here are my tips. I wanted people who were in square one figuring it out. I wanted to be full time, but I didn't know what that looked like. So just I wanted to hear from people in their journey. And so being entrepreneur minded, we create what we can't find. So that's what the premise of the show was.
Say that again. We create what we can't find.
Yeah, and all businesses should solve a problem. So if your business isn't solving a problem, you're already on the wrong track. So I decided to do the podcast. I went to a co-host because my insecurities told me that nobody wanted to hear what I had to say by myself, that I needed another partner, somebody to bounce ideas off or balance me out. I felt like the conversations I was hearing was very superficial, and I wanted to talk about things in a deeper way, and I felt like nobody wanted to hear that. So let me get somebody else that could kind of balance this aspect out. So that's what I did. We launched the show as it was in 2017, and we did very well really quickly. My business was doing good. So now the podcast was like the perfect funnel, driving people into my coaching business. But around this time, I was also still building my relationship with God. So up until that point, those two aspects of my life were separate. Mm-hmm. I was going to church. I was figuring out how to hear from God. I was reading the Bible and just figuring these things out. And I was also figuring out business. And I was always conditioned, especially in college and all of these career development places. They say you don't talk about religion and politics in business settings. So that was my mindset. So I didn't put the two and two together. And it wasn't until just as I got more comfortable hearing from God and knowing that it was him speaking to me and learning more about the word, I came across Jeremiah where he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I came across all these scriptures that was talking about God's plan and his purpose and all of these things. And I was like, well, maybe what I'm doing over here is not supposed to be separate. Like it at that point, those two things being separate no longer made sense to me. And so I was like, okay, God, so since you know everything, straight up, and this is how I talk, so it ain't gonna be no
right.
God, since you know everything and you know every hair on my head, what am I supposed to be doing over here with the business? And so God just really began to give me instruction. He ain't tell me the big picture. That's what I wanted to hear, is what is the big, grandiose, beautiful purpose of Tatum life that you have? That's what I wanted. So as I'm praying this prayer, he says, do the podcast by yourself. I'm like, that's not what I asked. That's actually not what I asked. But
that's what you get. That's what you get.
So I wish I could tell you that I was obedient right in and there. I was not. So I waited. I was like, that's not God. That's me. Like just trying to make it seem like that I wasn't hearing what I was hearing. Then over and over again, other people, confirmation would come. I didn't ask for it because I didn't want to hear it at all. So it would just start being repetitive. Why don't you just do the podcast by yourself? I'd be like, nobody is asking you guys these things. Why are y'all telling me? So eventually I was like, all right, let's just do this. So I went, I set up a meeting with my co-host and I was like, hey, look, you know, moving into the new year, God gave me this instruction in maybe the first quarter of the year. I didn't meet with her until maybe the end of the third. So I waited a few months. So I was like, all right, so moving into the new year, I'm going to do the podcast by myself. And I just left it at that. I wasn't like, oh, God told me this, because I try to be very, I'm a big girl. Like, I don't have to hide behind God and say, God told me that I'm going to do the show by myself. Because also, I don't know where she was in her relationship with God either. And I don't want her perception to be wrapped into something that feels like rejection or a breakup, so to speak. So I left that part out of it and just said, you know, I'm going to do the show by myself. Let's finish. And we came up with a plan to finish off the year before the transition. Now, around this time, God also, after I obeyed that, he said, all right, now change the show up, like change the name, because I had came to the point where I had to change the name because of a trademark conflict with the way that the name was before. So I had to change it regardless. And so as I was seeking God on like what this show was going to be, I know I got to do it by myself and I know I got to call it something else. So where do we go? And so that's where Blessed and Bossed Up came about. And he told me, you had it right a little bit with like talking about the journey, but I want you to talk about the journey of building a business with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I guess, you know, and I was scared, very much so. And I was not happy about it. I was stressed, but I came to the point where I was like, well, what you going to do? Are you going to listen or are you not? And at this time I was self-employed. So I ended up leaving my job during that period. I was in my business full time. God had also told me around this time to shut down the coaching business that I had. So imagine how stressed I am. No job. The business that finally starts making money, I got to shut it down. The podcast that's reaching a ton of, like, the podcast was doing well. It wasn't like it was bad. The numbers were great. Shut it down. Everything, as it looks as if it's on an uphill trajectory, I have to now stop it. I couldn't understand that. But again, I had to decide, because when I got saved, as I call it, because I got saved as a teenager where, you know.
But you wouldn't really say. Well, you had to come back. You had to come back to the Lord. I got it. We got you. I was there before.
I was still in the streets very much so. So I had to come back. And so when I got saved, I was just like at a place where I was like, all right, God, I'm going to live my life for you. I know I'm not going to be perfect because I got to rewrite my whole way of doing things, but I'm in this. So whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And so in that period when I was, you know, frustrated and it seemed like I had to shut everything down, I was like, well, at the end of the day, I want to at least be somebody who does what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I told God, and I was serious, that it wasn't one of those hangover mornings where like, God, if you make this stomach ache go away, type, I'm never drinking again. It wasn't one of those. I was really serious. And so I just went back to that thought process of, well, if everything I'm reading is true, we finna find out because I'm about to just do it. And that's what happened. And I changed the show around within the first month. We doubled in listenership. I still ain't had no business. I was like, God, this is cute, but where's the money at, though? Like, I had to go through this whole process. And this process was very necessary for me because I'm somebody where I can do what I set my mind to. I'm very confident in my abilities. I'm confident in my business acumen. And I know I can make some things happen for myself. But my issue is that if that doesn't get tamed, then it can easily go to pride and ego and self-fulfilling things. And so knowing that that is God knowing this and me not realizing it until after, that I can't give her all of that yet because she's going to think that she did it. I now have to test her out and take her to a period through a process where she has to be relying on me so that I could change her character, so that I could change her heart, and so that I can make sure that she's truly devoted to me. And that's what that period was like. It was a year and a half of not really making any money, having some things happen. Like I put out my book and my journal at that time. So I had some good moments, but that's not sustainable. You know, sales dwindle after the launch period and things like that. That wasn't sustainable. And so I went through this period where I put out a couple things, but I didn't have the business. And God really had to change my mind. And he had me in, a big part of it was he had me in Jeremiah for a while. And as I was studying Jeremiah, God was trying to rework my perception of success. He was like, Jeremiah was successful. He ain't had no money. Everybody hated him. His life sucked from our perspective. And but he was successful because he obeyed God despite all of that. And so God needed me to understand that my success is not about what I could put on my vision board. I don't think I've done a vision board since. He's like, success should not be measured on what I could put up there or whatever I come up with that makes me feel good. My idea of success needs to be obeying God, and that's it. All that other stuff is cool, but my loyalty and devotion has to be to him over everything. Mm-hmm. And so that season, I believe, was a training ground of him really rerouting my mindset, my character, my perspective, everything. And I believe it wasn't until I graduated from that season, and only he could decide when that time was, that I'm blessed with everything that I'm doing today. But every bit of increase that I get now, I always attribute it back to that season. Because I remember before then, my big goal was, I want to make six figures. I want to be a millionaire by 30, all of these things, right? And I remember when we first accumulated six figures in the business, I didn't even know. And it was crazy because I'm like, oh, God really changed me. Because I would have been on the accounts like, what's up? What's the plan? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. My husband, who's my accountant, sent me a screenshot and was like, hey, check this out. And I was looking. What? And I was like, wow, God, you are something else. But it didn't even matter. It wasn't as big of a deal when it happened as I made it an idol for so long. And I knew that God would change me when it wasn't even a big deal when it happened. And I didn't even notice it because I was so busy being obedient. So that was long, but still condensed. Of the journey. Yeah. I'll stop right there.
Hi, Life with Tanisha. I'm so glad you're back on here. You know, I apologize when I blocked you that time because I didn't mean to. So I just had to shout her out. She gets a special shout out. So my story is way different. I have been an entrepreneur for 16 years in January. And it was always a desire in my heart. Like, everywhere, one of my businesses, I'm not going to go into all of them, but I have a childcare, And so children would follow me. My husband was like, yo, this is crazy how these kids keep following you, like everywhere you go, you know? And so, I was just, you know, I was in my jobs just like Tatum. And I'm so glad we're sharing this because I know God is speaking to some people, but I was in my jobs, you know, and I just was in my jobs. I would always do well, you know, hit a ceiling and I'm like, I am bored. And then I'm like, okay, fine. And then, you know, I would keep going and move and this. And so, you know, when I was dating my husband, when I was actually dating him, he knew we had talked about having a, you know, a childcare. And so I said, okay, you know, and he was like, you know, one day, you know, he said, you know, he was just sharing me what he saw for me with the business, even when we were dating. And so I said, okay, fine. I was in the jobs. And then finally one day, oh no, we were living in a house. We had our townhouse. And, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, but I needed a plan, right? I needed a plan. You have to plan, have to have a plan, and you don't count. You got to count the cost. Okay. You got to count the cost. And, especially when you have a family, yo, when you single, you can do all of that. Mm-hmm. But when you got a family, you can't just be all willy nilly. Like if a man don't work, he don't, you know, don't work, he don't eat. All that scripture too. Don't come for me. And so we talked, we got a plan. And so I knew I wasn't doing childcare and being pregnant. That was out the question. All right. And so we had our second child. We knew we wanted to have two children. So we had having our second child. We had found we were buying a new house, another house, single family, and coming out of the townhouse to a single family. And so I said, okay, this is a good time. You know, once I have the second child, we may as well just open the business because now, you know, we don't have to pay for childcare, you know, and, you know, it just worked out. And I was like, I love, you know, every mom doesn't want to stay at home, but listen, Proverbs 31, she was making that money in the house. And yeah, I just cooked for my husband before I came down here. So, you know, it's like, yeah, like what? So Proverbs 31, she was doing it all. She was bad, right? That's what we're supposed to be, virtuous women. And so I said, okay. And so I left my job. And when I first started, shout out to Mia. Mia's on here. But when I first started, I had one child. Yo, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, gosh, I'm cracking up. I was like, hold up now. My God. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? So it was just one. I started in my home because that's, you know, the plan that God gave us. You know, it worked. It worked. You have to do what works.
Yeah.
And we have to figure that out, you know, but we don't have to figure it out alone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had one child. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is, you know, like you were, Tatum, when it got to you. I was like, you know, nail biting. I was like, yo, this is crazy. So I was like, okay, but this is walking by faith. Everything we talking about is walking by faith. Yeah. And so God called me to this business and, you know, I remember the times and I'm like, man, you know, and so many things you have to figure out along the way because, and like Tatum said, I love what you were saying about the young lady, because sometimes, you know, you don't listen when you go to your job, you're not always in there saying, God said this, God said that. You know, when I'm interviewing a parent or a family, I don't have to say, God said, you know, God said all of this because it's my business is here. Like you can see the fruit, right? So, you know, we want to get into that part too, but I wanted to share my story because I was at a different phase in my life. I had a family and everything. And so I left, my husband supported it and we did it. It was not always easy, We had to trust God. I had obstacles, you know, I had to push through. You know, you have to have some tenacity about you as an entrepreneur. You listen, no's are going to come, but I'm one. No does not mean that you're going to stop this show.
Yeah.
Because God called me to this. Mm-hmm. So it's always another way around. You know, have I wanted to call it sometimes, which we're going to talk about? Absolutely. But what I want to share with you all is that just because you may have been on a job for 40 years, it is never too late to do what you love. Mm-hmm. If God will give you a plan, you know, everybody's not called to, but I love my journey, being able to be home, raise my children, like be able to be there for them, be able to cook for them, be able to send them off or to school and just be that mom, nurture your children. Yo, that's Proverbs. So, and still make money. Let me be very clear. Run me them coins. But I wanted us, and I love that we're doing this in February, in Black History Month, and as women, because, you know, so many women have been downtrodden, you know, some of you, but there's something in you that God gives us gifts, mm-hmm. and he gives good gifts, mm-hmm. and he gives it to us so that he can multiply us. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to share that part of this, my story with the childcare for 16 years, you know, and I remember my mom one time saying, you're going to be catapulted in renown. And I think this was one time when I had, like, my enrollment was low. Like, I was like, okay, you know what, God? Like, seriously? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here come the flood. It was like Peter when Jesus told him to fish. I mean, they would just come in. They would always flood in. So whenever it looked like, with my natural eyes, a drought was coming, yeah. God would always multiply it. I cannot explain it. That's not my job because I'm not God. But he would always multiply it. And so we want to share that part because we got to give you the faith part and knowing that if God gives you a vision, you have to be faithful to what the vision is. Things in your vision will change. Parts of it will, you know, shift. You have to be flexible with what God, like Tatum shared in her parts. I've had to be flexible. You know, I did stuff, you know, I didn't talk to too many because I started in my home. You know, sometimes people look at you as a mom and pop. Yeah. Oh, you just in your home. You don't have a real business. You're a babysitter. Excuse me? I don't sit on babies. First of all, that part. What I do is educate children, young children, and it's called early childhood development. So you gonna run me some respect
with a lot less overhead. So with a lot less overhead. So
and so
a building, but you're probably in the red paying for that building. So
yeah, but it just shows you because people, you know, so you have to keep a standard and just say and know what you're doing, right? And so. And I didn't know, like Tatum said, well, she had a background in it. I had no background in what I was doing. So first things first, even before I started, I was like, let me find out what you have to do to get into this field, right? So then I think at that time, you only had to have 8 hours of training. First of all, I'm not leaving my child with nobody that has only 8 hours of training. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I would not do this. This is crazy. Like to me, I was like, where's the standard? Okay. You have to set standards for yourself. And if you know, God is an excellent God. Let's talk about that for a second. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent God. So if he's excellent, we should be operating in excellence. That doesn't mean perfect. I'm talking about a caliber of excellency, mm-hmm. like excellence. And so I was like, this is crazy. I can't do this. My conscience and the conviction from the Lord, I was like, it's no way in the world because it's not going to be, like you said before, Tatum, sustainable.
Yeah.
So I did 90. I went above and beyond what they asked because I was like, this is crazy. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And even through my journey, it was different. I didn't get my master's until 2019, but I kept going with my education. I would do the 90 hours. Then I got my associate's. Then 2 years later, I think I got my back in the field because I wasn't in this field. Mm-hmm. And then I got my master's. So it was through the working of it, but you have to have some tenacity about you. You have to have some grit about you. So I want to doubt, because everything we're talking about, you know, there are laws in the land. So you got to first, you're going to have to make sure, let's talk about some business filings, Tatum.
I mean, what I like that you said was you did the research to figure out what it takes to have this type of business. You then realized, as you're somebody who falls into your target audience, oh, I don't want to leave my child with somebody who only has 8 hours worth of training. So now you may have done it. You went above and beyond from that standpoint. But what you were also doing was maintaining a competitive edge and a unique selling proposition that sets your center apart from others, because you can put, my mind always goes to marketing. So you could put down on like your website and your marketing materials that this is the standard, but Love and Hands goes above the standard by having more education, by having extra certifications, by having all of these things. And so that's something that business owners really need to consider. And I believe where a lot of people of faith fall short is we hop right into it with our hearts. And that's great. But you have to be strategic in the way that you're doing things, especially if you're somebody who you have a family. You can't just be out here. I was young. I wasn't married. I had no kids. I could eat PB&J for, you know, 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner if I wanted to, because I had that advantage at that time. But if you're somebody who has a family and things, you can't just be jumping into things.
Right.
Even if you are young, you still shouldn't just be jumping into things. So how much is it going to cost to run this business? I know in Maryland, you got to file every single year. So, you know, one cost you're going to have every year is $300 to make sure that your business stays in good standing so you can file that. If you do your research, you know that it costs, I don't even know how much it costs now, maybe like a couple hundred to register your business with the state. So you need to write that down as a cost. So don't just hop right into doing the business. How much does it cost to operate this business and make sure that you're able to do that? And then doing market research and going, how much are people charging for childcare centers? What is my overhead? What's the price point of the industry? And then coming up with your price from there. These are all things that you think about before you create a website. I feel like a lot of people hop straight into the Instagram pages and the emotional side of the business and telling their story and all of that, but don't take the time to really do the business foundation, because those are the foundations that you're able to build on and make your business sustainable and not wishy-washy.
And you are absolutely right, because let me tell you something. If you think you don't file that business filing and you think it's not coming back, go to get a loan, go to get a grant, and it's coming up. Mm-hmm. You better keep your stuff together. You know, it's more than what you're presenting to people. It's the work behind it. It's the paperwork behind it. And I forgot one part that I didn't share in my story. The Lord just reminded me. When I first started my center, my childcare, it's always been Loving Hands, but it was Loving Hands, I think, daycare. Loving Hands Daycare. And then my tagline was Nurturing Your Child with God's Love. But as I kept going, I changed my tagline and it didn't say that anymore. And it is now Learn, Play, Discover, and Grow. And so it's how God gives it to you. It's how God gives it to you to grow. When you go to Chick-fil-A, who everybody on here probably go to, unless you're a vegetarian, even then, you probably go get a salad and them fries. Chick-fil-A does not have a Jesus sign stuck up on the wall. But what they do have is a brand that is given by God, and they stick to it. They still close on Sundays and everybody adheres to it because they decided to honor God on that day, you know, but it's the model that God gave them. You understand? So what I'm saying is God may have you switch up some stuff, but it does not mean that marketplace and ministry, like it's supposed to go together. Mm-hmm. And we have been so conditioned to the world that we get in the world system and we don't get into God's system. Because God wants us to, now I'm not saying, yeah, listen, God will use you in your jobs. Everybody's not called to entrepreneurship. That's fine. Marketplace and ministry can go a whole lot of different ways because God can call you to be a judge, a lawyer, whatever. He can raise you up in the area that you're in. So we're not, I'm not diminishing that. But we wanted to talk about marketplace and ministry because for some of you, God is calling you out of the job, you know, the 9 to 5, he's or whatever your hours might be, okay, but he might be calling you out of that, and so that's what we want to share. Or maybe it's calling you to do both. Maybe that's a part of your strategy. So
you that sometimes marketplace and ministry doesn't mean that you're leaving your job to work in a business full time. You can have your funds to where you're investing in other businesses. And so now you get paid your royalty or your equity payouts, however you have it set up. Mm-hmm. You're getting paid that, and you don't have to deal with the day-to-day of a business. Like, I think about my aunt where she and I are going into business together now to where we're expanding Anchor Media, and now we're buying this property together. She still works for the government full-time, but she owns real estate and collects her rent payments and makes money that way. She's going to retire from the government. She ain't going nowhere. She's like, I'm going to work my way up in this system. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to retire from there and get my retirement. But I'm also going to do these things on the side. Business doesn't always look like you're creating a product to sell. You can be investing. You can buying real estate and renting it out and collecting your checks. And
there you go.
The thing. So one thing that every business needs is money. So wherever you're at in your journey, if you don't know what exactly you're doing, what exactly you're going to be doing, just start putting money to the side because it all costs money.
That's so good. Start
putting money to the side so that you're ready. When this opportunity came up where we're buying this property right now, I didn't know that I was going to be doing that this year. I signed a whole lease in the space I am now for another year. So the opportunity come up where they like, okay, this is how much this costs. One, you need 20%. So because I'm, you know, good steward over my finances, oh, I got 20%. Cool. I don't even want to spend the 20%. So let me get an investor come in so I don't have to. And that's where my aunt came in. But even with that, like when this opportunity came up with the bank, you need to submit your tax returns for the last 3 years, your profit and loss statement for the last year that concluded because we ain't did taxes on 2021 yet. All of those business affairs were in order. So now an opportunity has come for us to own real estate for Anchor Media, and I'm ready. I wasn't expecting it, but because the business stuff is in order, I'm ready. And God, this space that we're moving into already has tenants in it, so I could stay where I am for the rest of my lease term and become a commercial landlord and collect my check until I'm ready to move into it. And so it's like the simple things of just making sure that your business is in order, making sure you're putting money to the side, because again, you're going to always need money. So make sure you're putting money to the side, and things of that nature will allow you to be in a position to take advantage of whenever God says it's time to go.
That's good, Tatum. That's really good. I like what you were saying about, you know, when we talked about like business filings, please make sure you are in good standing. And then make sure that you know, your account, if you don't know, okay, let me give an example. I like money, but I don't like to do accounting. It is the most horrendous thing in the world to me, just to me. Somebody else, oh, that's their thing. But okay, at some point I had to relinquish that. Because like you said, you're going to have to invest back in your business. It's no way you can start a business and not put something back into it, investing into it. Even when it, like I mentioned about my education, I was still investing in my business. All right. So you have to invest in your own. Listen, that's all about being a good steward. It is, you have a look, girl, you can keep that accounting, April. Listen, I can't, oh, Lord, help me. But I have an accountant. You know, you have to put these things. I didn't start there, but these are things you have to put in place because of if you're one thing, an entrepreneur, make sure you have a plan of where you're going. You know, even her, whatever the investments come, make sure you have a plan, a five-year plan. Like, what is my 5 years going to look like? What are the next 5 years going to look like to me, for my family, for my business? Where am I trying to go? Okay, I may not know how to, like for me, I saw, like Tatum wanted to see the big picture. I saw the big picture. But I can't forget all these details to get to, I'm never going to get to the big picture.
Yeah.
When an artist is painting the picture, the canvas is blank. And the more strokes they put on, the more they shade, the more they draw. I don't know why the Lord got me doing this, but the more they shade, the more they draw, the more they just keep going at it, it becomes a masterpiece. And so with that, you just have to know, like, I'm creating a masterpiece, you know, and this is what I see. This is and one thing about faith, like Tatum was saying, you know, it's as you go. It's not. Faith is, you know, worked out through patience. It's worked out through patience. Mm-hmm. I can't. You have to keep walking it out. You have to keep walking it out or you're never going to see the big picture. You're never going to see all of what God has for you. So I wanted to, so make sure you have an account, make sure you have those biz filings, because 2 years ago, the Lord has shared that, you know, it was going to be the greatest season for the kingdom of God. You know, that the harvest, God was releasing a harvest, an end time harvest. And so listen, them coins been running. I'm gonna leave it there. The coins been running.
And I'll add too, Taya, I think one of the secrets to success is self-awareness.
Yes.
And, when we become entrepreneurs, we put ourselves, first of all, you have to name yourself something in your business. And this is a very underutilized aspect because you can be the CEO, you can be the president, you can just be the founder. You need to figure out which part of the business are you going to be in. If you're going to be the CEO of the business, that's an executive role that has roles and responsibilities and requirements and tasks. It is a job in and of itself. And usually people start businesses based off of something they're passionate about, a problem they solve, something they're expert in. But you have to, you when you start your business, you're no longer just the subject matter expert. You're also in a leadership role with the responsibility to drive your business forward. So one of those foundational things is, what role am I going to take in my business? If you look at the CEO role, I have a friend where she was like, she gave herself this title and realized that she wasn't good at it and she didn't want it. So she took a step back from being a CEO of her company to just being the founder, because those roles and responsibilities were, she didn't have the skill set to be able to do. And that comes from a very self-aware place. Even when building out your business, knowing what you're going to need to make the business go forward. So I have a marketing background. So that's where it's easy. I know how to make money. But the managing of that money, that's when I was like, okay, that's where I need to bring an accountant in. And not only just an accountant, but what role do I want a financial person to play? Are they an account? Are they a bookkeeper, which is more data entry? Is that what you need? Do you need somebody who's going to make sure that the money is organized and accounted for and assigned to certain places? Do you need an accountant who is going to make sure your taxes are paid or make sense of what those numbers and what that data means? Or do you need a CFO who is going to be able to forecast and project and multiply your money? Those are three different jobs in that one accounting sphere that you have to know which one you need. So in the beginning of my business, I needed a bookkeeper. So I'm like, I could do that. It wasn't too many moving parts. So I'm not going to bring in a bookkeeper. I'm just going to make sure I'm spending time to organize my finances. Then when we start making money and now these numbers need to be articulated or made sense of, that's when an accountant came in. Thankfully, I married one. So I was good. So then from there, though, as the business grew, I knew, okay, now I need a CFO. I need somebody who is going to forecast and allow me to be set up. And so with BJ, his job in the company is to be the CFO. So we can find somebody else to organize data or whatever. I need you to forecast so that we can make strategic long-term decisions. And so again, a big part of building your business is to know the roles that are required to make that business run. If you're somebody, you know, you're not good at marketing, that maybe needs to be one of your first outsourcing. Okay, let me bring in, I know I could keep the books organized. Let me bring in a marketer so I can start making more money. Let me bring in maybe a coach or a consultant to somebody or somebody to come in and help me to build out these foundational things. Or let me go to the SBA, which is a free resource.
Free.
Utilize a lot of their tools so that I can make sure that my business is set up. But I wanted to cover that too, because the executive side of running a business is so underutilized and everybody gets caught up in the grind. And what you're up with is maybe making a lot of money that you don't keep, missing up more money because you weren't paying attention to the details. So I definitely wanted to cover that too.
Yeah, April said that's such an awesome way to explain that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, since we're there, since you just broke that down, let's break down intellectual properties.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not a lawyer, but okay.
Neither am I, not at all. I don't want to be that either, but go ahead. Yeah,
when I was in business school, the classes I did the best in was business law and qualitative analysis. So this is where I get to geek out when it comes to like the law stuff and qualitative analysis. But with intellectual property, this is big. And I teach my podcasters that sometimes it's not always about if you need to file a trademark, but it's you need to know where you can operate so you're not infringing on someone else's. Mm-hmm. And so if a trademark specifically is like a marriage, you have to use it to keep it. You're committed to it. It costs money to do. And so if you're not married to something, I always tell people, don't go right into trademarking it because you got to use it. So if you don't use it, you're going to lose it anyway. So now you just wasted money on this. Mm-hmm. And so, but I always say connect with a lawyer when you're naming your business or things of that nature, because they'll also be able to tell you where you need to stay away from. So for example, we did Anchor Media, we did a planner, it's a podcast planner. So I'm doing my research to see, has anybody done a podcast planner before? So I found someone who did, and it's called the podcast plan. So then I looked it up on a trademark site to see, you know, if they have a trademark for it. Because if they didn't, it's free game. If they do, then I need to watch what I do. So I look it up, and they have one. It's on like the sub register and not the main one. So I'm like, okay, this is where we get beyond my scope of competency. So let me call my lawyer. So I call my lawyer. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this planner. There's something out here called this. Where do I need to go? Or what line do I need, or box do I need to stay in when creating it? So she told me something that was pretty dope. She was like, you can call it the planner. Because I wanted to call it the profitable podcast planner, because our unique selling proposition with Anchor Media is we don't just teach you how to create shows. We teach you how to create shows that make money for your business and that grow so that you can make money from advertisers and things of that nature. So she says, well, the planner is not something that anybody can trademark because it's descriptive. So you can't trademark the sky, the floor, the ceiling, the microphone. So I was like, perfect. I'm going to just call it the planner because I'm not infringing on anybody else's trademark. And I don't have to trademark it myself. I can just go, you know, and stay within this box. So intellectual property is important. Now, if you come across something like God is my CEO, to where I'm like, all right, I have a bigger vision for it. I want to do merch. I have like way bigger goals that I haven't communicated yet that I want to do. So now let me go and see about getting this trademark. And so going to my lawyer, she helped me facilitate. So now we have the trademark for that. So Anchor Media has big goals. So Anchor Media needed to be trademarked, and anchored in any form is usually pretty common. So I wanted to trademark it to make sure that when we're talking about the media capacity of podcasting and things like that, no one else can do that as I'm trying to build out this brand. So we went ahead and did that. I trademarked a couple other things, but it's always first a conversation with a lawyer.
There you go. I'm glad we talked about that because you want a lawyer. You need to have legal counsel, you know, and you want to make sure you can have somebody you can talk these things through. And that also goes into even insurances. OK, yeah. You have to have different insurances. I know, you know, with I don't know how many insurance policies I have, but you want to make sure that you're covered, like she said, even from the business filing and that aspect with the lawyer, and then the insurances to go along with it. There are different insurances that come along with specific businesses. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to make sure, like, you know, I remember starting out as a sole proprietor. And I was business, and they were like, no, you need to get that out of your name, because they can sue, you know, you and your home and your family and take whatever. Okay. So then I switched to an LLC. And so you need to, but, and with that came more money that need to be spent. that business filing, that Lord, that we know the good governor going to let up on, but the business filing and the insurances. That came, there were many more insurances that came with me changing over. Now, yes, I spent more money, but would I rather spend the money there, or if a child slipped on my property and now they're suing my family? You understand? Mm-hmm. Could take my home, then I have no more business. So you have to look at all of that. And I wanted to talk about insurances on here, because that is big. Yeah. You have to make sure you insure, like. It's just like your car, like, okay, your car insurance. You don't let your car, well, I know it depends on the state you live in, but the one we live in, oh, you let that insurance lapse. You're in trouble. So you can't let certain things lapse, you know, and things of that nature. You need to make sure that you have insurance in place for what you're doing. Okay. So I wanted to talk about insurance. I know what Tatum's talking about as far as what role you play in your business. You know, how I know when I first started, I didn't have employees. Now I have employees. Y'all feels good. It feels so good. But let me say this. It was always a part of my vision to own it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I had to work it.
Yeah.
That's the truth. I had to work it. Mm-hmm. But I have employees, you know, I have a payroll. These are things that go with companies. Mm-hmm. You know, insurance, not just regular insurance. You may have to get health insurance. You know, mm-hmm. as you grow, you know, we have health insurance in our business. You know, thank God. The more I think about it, as we're talking about this, we want to share all this with you so that you can know that it's possible. Yeah. All right. So we talked about insurance. We talked about intellectual properties. We talked about lawyers. All right, let's dive into, I know we talked about wise counsel, but you may need consultants depending on what type of business. You know, we have a nonprofit. So, you know, I never did a nonprofit. And that's a whole nother sector, because, you know, it's different than your own company. You know, it's a whole nother level. So, you know, shout out to Jill. I love to shout Jill out, but the savvy servant. And but consulting, you might need a consultant, someone to help you build the, because if the foundation, if there's cracks in the foundation, right, you're already going to have a problem. You have to make sure the foundation. You can change the windows. You can change the doors. You can paint it over. You can get new siding. But you need to make sure that that foundation of your business, and everything we're talking about is foundations of business. You got to make sure it's tight, y'all. You got to make sure it's tight. All right. So you might need a consultant to help you through. One thing I love about Tatum, this girl is a negotiator. Like, yo, I don't understand. The girl is like, I don't want to talk about, but she bad. That's what I said before, but she is like the negotiating queen. So you may have to negotiate I want to talk about negotiating. I don't know why I went there, but negotiate some of these things. You may have to negotiate, but you certain things, you know, you want to make sure that you are utilizing all of your resources.
Yeah. And I think that's where tenacity comes in. Because I remember when I was hiring, I was like, okay, I can't pay anybody. Initially, I'm like, I can't pay anybody a full-time salary. But let's figure out what we can do. Because The worst thing somebody can say is no. So I'm going to ask. If it's one thing I'm going to do, is I'm going to ask. So I'm, you know, when I first hired our marketing manager, she's full time now. But when I first hired her, she wasn't. So I'm like, okay, what are your goals or whatever? So she is entrepreneurial. So she wanted to learn more about business and things like that. Okay, so I can't maybe pay you a full-time salary, but I can mentor you in this capacity, and that's valuable. So I'm like, okay, what else? And I know she was interested in like education. So what we did was one thing we have in our offerings, whether it's part-time or full-time, is if you want to get a certification or something like that, make your case. So in her case, her getting a digital marketing certification is beneficial for her and her goals, and is beneficial for us as a company. So we paid for it. Cool. That's easy. Even with that, getting creative with our offering. So like, marketing is a vehicle that drives sales. So I said, okay, here, we'll do a base pay, and then we'll do a percentage of any sales, any digital sales that you make, because that's your job, right? Marketing. So that's going to make money digitally. So we'll add a percentage there. So it takes me as the business owner off the hook, and it also incentivizes her to work harder because she gets paid more in that way. And so that's something that I really learned, just happened to work with what I had in the beginning, just how to get creative and to negotiate and get people who are passionate about the company and figure out how I can serve them as they're serving us, has been really important too.
Yeah, I know what you mean about incentives. And of course, it depends on what industry you're in, but there are always incentives in an industry. All right. So I know for me, you know, it was, hey, the best form of advertisement still to this day is word of mouth. I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. Word of mouth is still the best. Now, I'm not saying you don't spend money in marketing and all of this stuff, but people are going
to facilitate word of mouth. That's all it all goes
right
to. That's what influencer marketing is and all of that. It's paid to facilitate word of mouth, which is number one.
That part. And so even with, you know, I've given, you know, parents discounts, you know, because if the parents are talking, all right, the kids are coming. Oh, you get a credit. Oh, yes, you do. You get a credit for that. Thank you. So, you know, these are things that you can do that don't really cost you anything, because if you, okay, you give a parent a discount, but now you have a whole new family, or you have a, you know, your business is growing. And so we're just giving you some tips. Let's see. Let's talk about like contracts, policies and procedures, that good stuff.
First of all, contracts will set you free. I'm very heavy on contracts. Again, that's why you need a lawyer. My lawyer actually does, like, she has this contract suite to where on her website, to where she provides templates. So you don't have to pay to speak one-on-one or pay the cost to have like the more specific things come up. But small things like an independent contractor agreement or service agreement, NDAs, like those general things, she has like a suite where she sells templates for it. And she always jokes like, Tatum has bought everything. And like, absolutely. Because if I need this and you got it, and I got to spend like $150 or something for the template, that's a no-brainer. And it has all the legal jargon and things that's necessary to cover me. So having a contract, even if you're doing something pro bono, there needs to be expectations in place, especially for people if you're doing some sort of partnership. And I see a lot of, if I work with people and they are working with somebody else, I always ask if they have like a partnership agreement or something, or operating agreement. Most of the time they don't. And that really matters.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
Even if it's more of a customer service or a customer or service type of relationship, having that in place. These days, everybody goes online and tells everything. So having some type of defamation clause in your contract. So you can't go online because you're mad that I answered that you wanted to talk to me and I wasn't on the phone or whatever. You can't go on the internet and say, this person's a scammer and blah, blah, blah. You can't do that because this contract says that you gotta be quiet and be mad. You're a fool on the internet. So having all of these things in place to protect you. So yes. If somebody doesn't pay on time, what happens? At what point does their service get disconnected? Is there a fee involved with them being late? All of these things are just specific. And people ask me stuff like, I don't know, let's go back to the contract because I don't have to keep it up here if it's on paper. So having these contracts in place is mandatory. There's no way you can run business without having a contract in any business.
Yeah, you have to have a contract. I know in my field, like Prophetess Monique was saying, must ask the tough conversations. You really do because... you really, really do. And even as Tatum and I were talking, and I've moved more into, you know, a CEO type role. And at some point, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, just the owner. Okay, I felt that thing in my spirit. All right. So, but having these policies in place. Okay, I have contracts, but I also have a parent handbook. All right. So whatever's not, because the contract is just laying out pretty much your payments, the hours of our operation, those type of things. But the handbook is more in depth. So the handbook has all this good stuff in it, right? All the meaty stuff that I can go back and say, according to page 22 of the parent handbook, this is what's going to happen if you don't give me what I need, or whatever it may be, or our med, or our policy on sickness or illnesses or whatever it may be. But you have to, and then now let me just jump. That's that side of it. But now with the employee side of it, okay, handbook, an employee handbook, you know, contract, you have, these are things that have to be in place because it sets the standard, not just for the employee, but for you. So it keeps everybody accountable, right? So even the employee can call me out, you know, and I even had outsourced, because sometimes, you know, I don't know how you can be a business owner and just be completely selfish, but that, what we do, what we're talking about, everything me and Tatum are talking about is integrity, all right? Because the bottom line is, in everything you do, you have to have integrity. Yeah. You know, if that contract says something and you as the owner didn't hold up your end, just like you want them to hold up their end, they can come and say you didn't hold up your end. Mm-hmm. And now, okay, you might have to let somebody out or whatever. You got to do what you got. You got to uphold what you put in place mm-hmm. or didn't. Right. Mm-hmm. So you got to have that. And just, you know, because sometimes, you know, I know I was the supervisor, everything. So I'm like, I can't have that. So mm-hmm. now I have to have an HR, you know, a consultant. I need somewhere, an outlet. I needed an outlet for my staff to be able to go to outside of me. You know what I mean? Yes, they can go to EEO, whatever, but I wanted them to know that this is a place where I'm not the end all be all. You know what I mean? Like, because mm-hmm. one, you're never going to grow. Like, first of all, nobody gonna want to work for you. Nobody's gonna want to work for you. So, just having those outsourcing resources, like Tatum and I were talking about, so that you can grow your company, you know, grow your business. Depending on where y'all are, but you know, you might have a conglomerate at some point. Hallelujah.
So with the policies and procedures, one thing that's consistent upon using the Chick-fil-A example is their customer service. No matter, it's a franchise. So there are plenty of locations everywhere, but their customer service is consistent because there's a policy, a procedure, and a training in place for that. So as business owners, we have to make sure that we have our workflows, our SOPs, standard operating procedures written out. So if I can't do something, somebody else should be able to come in, pick up where I left off and keep it going, because the process is already ironed out. And then going back to insurance, a lot of businesses, you're the key man. So something that we're actively into right now is making sure we have key man insurance. So if something happens to me, because I'm the subject matter expert when it comes to working with a lot of these shows, my business needs to make sure that it gets paid out so that the business has time to basically handle any adjustments that need to happen as a result of me not being able to show up. That's important. And yeah. So when even having that insurance protects the company from me not being able to show up. But then also, if I just take a day off or go on vacation and something happens, somebody should be able to pick up and do things. So we have a ton of trainings and SOPs, everything that is housed on our system. So whenever somebody comes in, interns or whoever, everything is done the same way every time. Mm-hmm. Another word for integrity is unity. So across the board, no matter who's working, there needs to be a unified approach to how the business does things. And you do that by having those trainings and those SOPs in place. And a standard operating procedure is easy. Just literally type out what you're doing. That's it. And we've done that this year. So we had our, we do a company meeting at the end of every year. And so I create the SOPs and then I walk through them with whoever's job it is to say, was this clear to you? So mm-hmm. read this, do it. Let's see if you got the same result that I got when I did it. Because if you didn't, that means there's something missing in the SOP because the continuity isn't there. Or let me make sure that it's easy for you to understand, because what's the use of me doing this if you can't pick it up and actually facilitate whatever it is the SOP is about. So stuff like that is simple, but yeah. That tedious, not sexy stuff that's a part of business that a lot of people skip over, and you just simply can't.
You can't. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you said you meet with your staff at the end of the year. I have to meet with mine a little more often than that, but
that's our company meeting where we go over like the year and all of that, but we meet every week.
And that's what I was going to say. Having regular meetings and even like we were talking about the hard conversations. Okay, let's get to what is the issue? What is going on right now? You know, and like for me, mine is like a tripart. Like, so I have families, the overall, and I have my staff. So I have to look at it from, okay, I want to protect families. I want to protect staff, and I have to protect the overall. Yeah. So figuring that out, because if families clash with one staffer, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they clash with one staff person, I always build my staff up. But if there is something and you have not let me know what that is, I can't help you. I need to be able to assist you. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do we figure this out? Because and sometimes, you know, that resolve may be someone is terminated. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be the family or that could be the parent. I mean, the staffer, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm sharing all of this because we have to know, you know, and not only that, the family can terminate me. You know what I mean? So it's not like it can't go the other way around, but I'm just sharing all of this where we're sharing information with you all so that you can really start to think about the depths of what it takes to build a business. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're doing what we do, you might just have your, you know, but you, even with that, you need policies, procedures, and things like that. I do want to talk about, I know we talked about marketing a little bit. I know that's Tatum's like whole thing. And so marketing is one thing, but I want to talk about if you are self-employed, please make sure that you at some point, if not at the beginning, or, you know, I don't know where you are. Some of you are already entrepreneurs. Please make sure you have something for you. You may get paid, but make sure you have a simplified employee pension, like a SEP plan, something. You didn't work and do all of this to have nothing at the end, you know, or to be able to leave anything, you know, and that's one thing, even what we're talking about. I'm trying to create generational wealth, not just something that's going to be for me. You know, I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy. I don't want it. It's not just about me. I want to leave a legacy, not just with my lineage, but with families. I want to make impact in the community. All of it goes together. And so let's talk about that, Tatum, because, you know, sometimes we work and we grind ourselves to the bone. And then we have nothing. Yes, okay, you got this grandiose and but you have nothing. You've set nothing aside for yourself. You didn't plan for another day.
Yeah. So for me, that looks like, one, not just financially setting myself up, but creating a working environment that fits the lifestyle I want to live. So one, setting myself up for the future. I want to retire at some point. So making sure I have retirement. So we've had those conversations. And another guy I was talking to was saying how it's cheaper for me to set my retirement up after I have a lump sum, let's say like $10,000. I'm like, okay, cool. So save 10 grand, then put that in your retirement and let the financial person manage the retirement account. So that's setting me up for the future. But also just as a self-employed person, making sure that generational wealth goes beyond what I could leave financially for my son, but I want my son to grow up and not have to heal from his childhood because I was so ambitious. And so making sure that I set a work environment to where I'm present in my family. So everybody know I go to bed for sure. Don't text me after 9 o'clock because you ain't going to get a response till the morning. And I'm going to respect you enough not to respond till maybe like 7, 8. It depends. I'll tell you me up. So I'll respond to you earlier. But like most people, I won't respond to maybe like 9 a.m. or whatever, because I'll be up early. But just making sure I have boundaries. Mm-hmm. I eat dinner with my family every night at 6 o'clock, I mean, at 7 o'clock. So between that time where we're sitting and talking about our day, I'm unavailable. And I'm not working after that either. Because me and Bethany watch Top Chef and all of the shows.
Yes, I love Top Chef.
We gonna watch TV and chill and talk and hang out, and it can wait. Mm-hmm. And that's the mindset that I've had to adopt. Because in the beginning, when you just started, it's that grind, it's that hustle. But after a while, it's just that grind is simply not sustainable.
It's not enough. Yeah, it's not sustainable. It's not
sustainable. So with that, I just try to make sure I have boundaries around work as well, so that I'm very present at home. And even, you know, the benefits that I have, like I have employees, but why they benefits better than mine? You know, like, I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, you know, is it, I was sharing with her like our benefit package. And I'm like, dang, like this is great. I'm able to offer something I wish I had when I was in my early 20s, getting into the workforce. And she was like, but is your company a great place to work for you? And I was like, you know what? No, it really ain't. Because like, it's just not. I feel like I need more benefits. And so something that we started doing like this year, so I have a nanny, and I wanted to go that route so that my son could be in the house. When I'm working from home, we all there. It's like, we all, this is the village, we in the house, right? And so I switched her over to the business, because I'm like, let the business pay her salary. And now we have childcare as a benefit to be Anchor Media. I mean, to work for Anchor Media. I may be the only one with a child right now, but in the future, like childcare now is a benefit. So now if I got to go speak, come on, we all going. And my son can be there and I can be with him, and I don't have to leave him anywhere. And we can have this life where he's able to see me work, but know that work isn't taking me away from him. And so that's big. And even with my marriage, like having those boundaries to where we're not, especially because we work together, we're not talking about work. Like we watching, like I said, Top Chef and Black-ish and Law and Order and all of these things, and just having a regular life. So definitely making sure those financial things are set up, even setting up my son. When I was pregnant, I opened up. I don't know a ton about investing, but I'm good at comprehending and reading. So so I saw, like, you know, certificates as a low risk way to save money. So I was like, cool. When I was pregnant, waddled down to the bank, was like, hey, I want to open up a certificate. They're like, cool. So I opened one up. I told my family for like a Christmas and the baby shower, just put money in his account. I gave out his account number. So I was like, oh, after a while, he had like a few grand by the time it was time to close it. I said, oh, okay, cool. So then we started talking about like life insurance policy. So me and BJ got one, and then they told us to get one out on our son too, because of the type of policy. When he's older, he could pull money out from it if he wants to buy a house. Bet. So we took the money from his certificate, paid off the premium for the year, use that rest and put it into a regular savings account. And now he's set financially. This year, I opened him up a custodial account. So in an ESA, so he has a education savings account and a custodial account. And so we just put money into those places. So, and then he has a vending machine. My aunt bought him a vending machine for his first birthday. So now in our commercial properties, his machine is going to be there. So when he's older, he can learn the principles of business and inventory and all of that in like a low risk type of way. And so just figuring out how to use what we have to set him up financially and set ourselves up financially. But then overall, how can we be present? How can I be a present parent and present in my household and making sure my business is not all great, but my household.
Yeah. And you lose everything else. Exactly. I think that's a good thing, because, you know, you have to have those boundaries. You have to have some things in place. And it's really good, you know, when you're married, that you have someone who's on board with you, you know, to help you navigate this. And so I love everything. That's all of my notes, because, when we talked about web marketing, so I wanted to make sure that we covered, like, really got into some meat of business, because I know we said a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, it's everything that you're going to need. And even like you were saying, Tatum, one thing that's not on here is just taking care of your health, you know, making sure that you, like, you get a break, you walk away, you know, you make time for yourself and even take care of your health, you know, make sure that you as the owner aren't, you know, building something to have, you know, just die, you know, that's not what life is about. You know, you should be able to enjoy that, make other people happy, and then make sure that you're happy too. You have to be happy. When I say that, I'm talking about your mental state and your health. I mean, I'm talking, yes, like go take a walk, get you some fresh air, that kind of thing, because then you're not going to be good for anybody else, you know, if you're doing these things. So you have to make sure that you're doing what you need for you too.
And I would add too, business is definitely going to be stressful. Like that's just a part of it. Mm-hmm. But going back to self-awareness, really knowing what makes you happy. You know what I mean? And something I learned, especially after having a kid, is I don't like my son being my alarm clock, because I me start my day at somebody, like with somebody else needing me. So as soon as I get up, I got to go straight to you, get you ready, get your breakfast together, spend our time together, do all of this, then get myself ready, go to work, work in the business and do all of these, come home, dinner, get you ready for bed. At what point did I stop, like, and gather my, like, I hated that. And that put me in such a reactive state to start my day as opposed to proactive. And so I learned very, very early what I, for me to operate at my best for everybody and for myself, is I need to start my day without all of that. So I wake up before my
yeah.
And that's my time where I'm sitting before God, like, God, what do you have for me to do today? So now I know that I've started my day with him. God has given me my instruction, rerouted whatever it is I have planned for that day. So now I know I'm honoring God with my day. I have that satisfaction. I'm clear-minded, happy, and I have my coffee. I'm like, I started my day taking care of myself. So now I can serve my family better and not have to be on edge or reactive. Like, I'm now in control of my day because I took that time to start with God, get myself together, and then show up for the different hats that I wear. And so that just came from, like, what makes me happy? And I have like this list in my phone, and I tell everybody to do it on things that just make me happy. And it's not even monetary. Usually
right.
It's going to Target with no list. It's I really like oysters. So going to get like oysters from somewhere, or just some good food or something, just things that make me happy. So at any point, if I'm stressed, oh no, we're going to my happy list. Everything's canceled. Everybody can wait. I'm going to Target. Leave me alone. And so I think that's a big part of it too. Just making sure that you don't lose yourself.
Yeah.
The wealth building or in the mom life or wife life and all of that, that you just make sure that you stay connected with God. Because even with that, you're making sure you stay connected with God is even more important as your business grow, because you ain't going to have time to be for 4 hours out that day. You, if an opportunity is presented to you, you got to be able to hear Holy Spirit instantly to know that it's a no, even if it looks great on paper. So being able to be connected with God and starting your day with him to hear from him, it puts you at a competitive advantage as you go throughout your day. It's been plenty of times things have come up and I'm in the moment and God is like, no. And I got to tell them, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It makes great sense. And my heart is breaking a little bit, but it's a no, because God said no. And I asked him when we was in prayer time this morning to God this day, and I invited him into my day. So we gonna go with what he's saying. And I'll ask him about it later, because half the time I got questions after the
And but I think
that's important too.
Yeah, it is important. And even the time management, you know, like time management is a big thing. And so just making sure that we wanted to just give you all a lot of nuggets today, and make sure that, you know, to know that there, like, even we've talked about marketplace and ministry within your job, within entrepreneurship, and even maybe both, and having multiple streams of income. But I really wanted to do this because a lot of you all, you know, I'm not going to go there right now. I'm not even going to look over there at no names, but just make sure that you're, you know, we wanted to give you things from a perspective of a healthy life, you know, and if things are going awry, or whatever it may be, you know, making sure that you're able to balance those things out. And I think the biggest part is not leaving God out of any part of what you have going on. And so if you do that, then things are going to be so much better. So, so much better, you know. And so my prayer, I know that there is a mantle of wealth on here today, a mantle to release wealth. And so I'm just going to pray, and then I want Tatum to pray, and then we're just going to end on that note, all right? But one, I want to release creativity, innovative ideas, and ingenuity. All right. So if you need creative ideas, like God is, you know, I've shared this before, but the Lord is never out of ideas. I just need you all to know, like, He is never out of ideas. And so just my prayer for you all is that the creativeness of God, you know, it's just a way to strike another way. And oftentimes when you strike, that way will lead to more than you were expecting. Or, you know, when you come up against a rock or a hard place, it's not a place to quit. It's a place to strike so that you can find another way. All right. I want to say that because there's more in you and more that you have in you than you think. And sometimes you think because you've been doing something so long the same way that that's the way. That's not always the way. Because then some things can become stale. And so God's like, I need you to get out of yourself and get into the creative mind of me and my creativeness and just do this another way. It may be you need to cut back somewhere or you may need to change up something. But if the creativeness of God, that's what Tatum was talking about when she asked and said, I'm blocking somebody, excuse me, that part. When we were talking and she said, you know, God, even how God will redirect you. So please know that there's a way to, yes, your creativity and new business ideas. So listen, there's a way that you can strike. I remember, and I'm going to share this part. Last year, I was in a hard place with my business. A hard place. I was like, I am just done. I could, because I know what God is calling, some other things that the Lord is calling me to do. And so I was like, listen, if this is the end of the journey right here, I'm good, God. Like I've obeyed you. I'm good. You know, but a part of me was still just like, God, you promised me more than this. It was like this, you know? And so I remember, you know, striking. It was something I had never thought of, was doing a podcast. You see what I'm saying? And I never, ever. Okay. I was like, what? But I did a podcast, and then, you know, I expanded the business even the more. Like, that's how you know God's hand is on something. It's not because it's mine. It's not mine. It's His. He's just giving it to me to steward. But what I'm saying, I'm sharing that to you all because some of you all have thought, some of you all were in the, when we did the night of the prophetic, the unlocking the mysteries. But if you weren't, you know, but go back, but listen, God is never out of ideas. That's what I really want y'all to know. If you strike the ground and keep striking the ground, something's going to move. And so even with this pioneer, my prayer is that the creativeness of God, that you all have enough tenacity to finish what you start, to pick it back up if you put it down. And if you didn't have a dream or you want to, you know, you had that dream and you just set it over and you didn't dust it off. My prayer is that you will dust it off and do it, because sometimes you want new ideas, but you haven't done the ideas that God, like, what happened to that idea? And let me tell you, if you made a vow to God, don't break your vow to God. Like, you don't want to do that. All right. So if you promised God you were going to do something in this area or do something with a business or something, and you didn't finish your part, you owe God an apology today. Okay. You owe Him a big apology. It's better not to make a vow to God than to break it. All right. That's scripture. All right. So, My prayer is about your creativeness, your innovation, and ingenuity. Those were the three areas that the Lord asked me to just decree over you all. It was creativity, innovation, and ingenuity, all right? So that you all can keep going. Listen, oh Lord. And when Tatum begins to, I don't know what's about to come out of her mouth, but listen, there's a mantle on here for wealth. I do know that. That part I'm very, very clear about, because there's a mantle for wealth on here. And the things that people have said that you can't do or won't do does not equate to what God is saying. And I'm telling you all that so that you can know that you can be and do and have the things that God, you can create the life that God, that you want with God. Let me say it like that. You can create the life you want with God. You can create the, yes, you can. I know I'm speaking from experience. Tatum has talked about it. You can create that. People told me, you going to start a what? You going to do what? You going to open up a childcare in your home? You going to leave your job? Like what? Yes, I am. I sure am. I sure am going to do it. And I kept saying it. I am. I'm going to own a center. I'm going to own more than one. I'm going to own three, but I'm going to do this. And so even though all of it has not manifested, I'm going to keep speaking because I know what God has put in my heart to do concerning that area. There are other areas, but I'm just talking about this one in particular today. All right. And so I wanted to share that with you all, because listen, you got to keep pressing in. I'm going to just say this to Jessica. Jessica, you have to keep pressing in, because, and you need to change your company. All right, Jessica, just change your company up. Change your company up. Listen, I'm not going to hang around a fool. Listen, wisdom is the principal thing, right? You need wise, godly counsel around you. I don't need anybody. You know, you talking to me and you're not saying nothing. That's how I feel. You talking to me and you're not saying nothing because you don't know what you're talking about. You really don't know what you're talking about. So I just believe that the Lord has something for all you all that are on here. You know, you all came on here expecting. You all came on here believing to get some things. And so we gave you a lot of natural stuff that you have to have. Okay, we're not getting away from that. And then there's a supernatural part of it that God will add to it. Amen. All right, Tatum. Whatever you got, if it's not a prayer, if you want to just share, that's fine.
I feel like you. I'm about to do an impersonation real quick. My ears are on fire. Oh my God, my neck is so hot right now.
I'm going to be her. I'm going to get her.
But that's how I feel. As you were talking, all I could hear is God wants to release us a sequential order. Mm-hmm. And I be looking stuff up because I'm like, I ain't think of that. So what does that mean? Like when something is sequential, it follows a certain order. So it follows, it can be numerical. So 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. But it's something that takes place in a logical order. And some of you guys have information overload. You got every download, every course, every live stream, every podcast. So it's so much going on up here. And God wants to make the things connect and put them in a sequential order so that you can follow them the way that he's calling you to follow them. Some of you guys are also a refortification needs to take place. When something is fortified, it is made stronger and more secure. So God is supposed to be our strong tower. We're supposed to be secured in him. Our businesses are supposed to be secured in him. But many of you guys have built businesses that have been fortified in fear and insecurity and trauma and second guessing yourself and second guessing God and word curses that have been spoken onto you. And you're trying to build, but it's fortified in the plans of the enemy and the things that have kept you held back. But God wants you to refortify it. So uprooting, fasting, praying, delivering, denouncing, getting rid of all of the things that have kept you where you are now and refortify him in his rightful place. So some of you guys are dismantling. You're trying to build on top of what needs to be uprooted. The foundation needs to be dismantled. It all just needs to get shut down and start from the beginning And some of you guys are afraid of, if you do that, then that means that you're going to be behind. Ooh. That it means that time is going to go by. You're going to start from square one and you're going to lose something. But nothing that you reposition in God, you're not going to lose anything. And it's actually going to catapult you farther into where you thought you were going, but you're going to go the right way. You're going to go distraction free. You're going to go without the people who aren't supposed to be a part of this. And so I feel so strongly that some of you guys need to refortify, put God in his rightful place and uproot and dig out those things that have kept you bound and that have kept you stuck, because you can't keep building that. It's just not going to work. You're going to waste time. You're going to waste money. And all of it is going to sound good. It's going to look good. But God sees into the deep. He sees the heart. He sees the foundation. So you can put all the makeup on you want. You can make it sound as sexy as you want to make it sound. But it's not going to work because the foundation is not in the right place. And so I urge you guys to go to the foundation and uproot whatever it is that's there now and put God back into his rightful place. And for other of you guys, some of you need a just a detox of all the stuff that you've taken in. Just a detox of all of the stuff, information overload. Like, just cut it all off. Don't take another class. Don't take another course. Don't listen to another lie. Go back to the notes that you had from day one and ask God to release a sequential order.
Hallelujah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.